Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
This hour is brought to you by Team Hochberg. Visit their website, 56David.com. That's 56David.com.
Bernstein and Rahimi, 9 a.m. to noon on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Gene Honda's booth next to us.
Deep to left, his first big league home run. It's Jake Berger to go up 10-0. Find that baseball and give it to this man. Career game number 9, home run number 1 for Jake Berger.
First home game in a White Sox uniform. First big league homer. I think that kid has to go.
I think
what's he gonna ask?
Smile.
What's he gonna ask for? Ask for the world, kid.
I bet. Listen, man, they're gonna come to you. And he's proudly showing it. They're gonna come to you, and they're gonna say, "What do you want?" Because we need that baseball. That's awesome.
You gotta ask for the world if you're that kid.
Hey,
Jake Berger will give you a lot for that ball.
Absolutely. Give that kid a bat, a glove, whatever you need to. And now you see the folks from the ballpark talking to the family as well. That's pretty cool.
Highlight courtesy Fox. And you remember for a while there, it was popular, there was an agency that was fronting athletes money in exchange for a percentage of their future earnings?
Yes.
That's what I'd be asking for. It's one thing if you're going to give me another signed ball or a signed bet. No, I would like a percentage of your future earnings.
I also love that it was Adam Amin on the call. That was great.
He's so good. It's very relaxed. It's energetic, but it's not in your face. It's not over the top. Here's a guy who's got to be relaxed right now after his sojourn somewhere off in the Wild West. Vinny Duber, who is on Twitter at Vinny Duber, he of NBC Sports Chicago, joins us on the Score Hotline presented by Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. You can also see him on Twitch, I believe, as well, as he usually joins us there. He's not on Twitch? Oh, damn it, because I like to see the vintage posters behind him. Vinny, what's going on, man? How are you?
Hey, guys, I'm good. You know, after driving all over the United States, here I am again back in the car running errands in Chicago. So I can't escape the Subaru Forester.
A Subaru Forester in Wyoming during the All-Star break. Vinny, you are true to form.
Thank you.
When you watch the events of the weekend, and we had all built up to this, because it's like, okay, great, beating the Twins and the Royals and the Orioles and the Tigers, go pick on a real team. Well, they sure did, and they did so in those final two games in nothing short of dominant fashion. It's got to mean something.
Yeah, it's huge. It means a lot to me. I don't think anybody in the White Sox employ is going to own up to this being a huge deal while we're still in July. They're going to take things one game at a time, as they so often say they're going to. And, you know, it's worked for them, so all power to them. But, yeah, from my perspective, it meant a lot. I mean, especially considering what the Astros did to the White Sox down in Houston last month. This was a big deal. And to see Lucas Giolito and Carlos Rodon in particular do what they were able to do on the pitching mound against what might be the best lineup in baseball, that was very impressive. It said to me the White Sox are going to go as far as this starting rotation is going to carry them. They've carried them to first place and a big lead in the division at this point. It looks like they can carry them very, very far, and I think we saw that this weekend.
What did you think about what Lucas Giolito said about how he approached the break and how he was able to use that to his advantage?
Yeah, I mean, I think he's been kind of open all year in saying that things are not going, you know, the way he would want them to go. He has extremely high expectations for himself. You know, he's wanted to be the ace of this staff, and with what he did in 2019 and 2020, he has become the ace of the staff, and then now he's being outdone, you know, probably happily because the performances have been so well, but outdone by Lance Lynn and Carlos Rodon. And I think you saw on Saturday night that he is still the guy who went out there in his first career playoff start last year in Oakland and, you know, took a perfect game as long as he did, a dominant performance against the A's. He comes back with a dominant performance against the Astros on Saturday and made everybody go, oh, yeah, that's that guy who could go still out there and start game one of a playoff series and really set things on the right foot.
What do we know about how the White Sox are valuing these young players that are still in the enjoying the afterglow of this the rookie bump that we see? We were reading the numbers of Gavin Sheets and of Jake Berger and wondering, even, you know, Brian Goodwin has overachieved. Adam Engel is looking like a terrific player. Who may be expendable if they are trying to get whatever they're trying to get?
Yeah, I suppose that's one way to look at it, and it might not be a bad way to look at it, considering how you can, when healthy, plot out you know, the lineup for this team, the starting nine for this team, so long into the future. And so maybe that is the way to look at it, as these guys are auditioning for trade possibilities. The first thing that came to my mind, though, when you see these guys succeeding is the White Sox still have holes to plug right now this year, and everybody the last, you know, ever since Eloy Jimenez got hurt back in the spring, pretty much has been, and then, you know, with the ensuing injuries to Luis Robert, Nick Madrigal, and Yasmani Grandal, have been saying, where is that trade the next day? You know what I mean? Luis Robert got hurt. We need a center fielder tomorrow. Nick Madrigal got hurt. We need a second baseman tomorrow. Well, the approach that the White Sox have taken to this point is, let's see what we got first, and then we'll work on it as the trade deadline approaches. And the results have not been bad. I mean, I don't know if they've been good enough to say, you know, for Rick Hahn to wash his hands of the season and say, all right, Sheets, Berger, you guys go out and take us to the World Series. But it's been a confidence boost, I think, in what these guys have been able to provide, that these guys could be able to be part of that solution the rest of the way. And I think it can't help but influence the way Rick Hahn thinks going into the end of this month and the trade deadline, where he's promised to be aggressive. He promised to be aggressive whether there were injuries or not. Now that there are all these injuries, he's going to have to be even more so, and I think that he's going to be.
That's the conundrum here, is these are the best problems you can possibly have. You usually have tradable prospects. You don't usually think that those tradable prospects are going to come up and perform initially the way they have. The performance out of Andrew Vaughn almost seems like it was 2 years ago, but it really was at the beginning of the year, how he's been able to deal with everything that he's been handed. And you're still trying to figure out what thing you need that's the best fit for making a World Series run when you just took 2 or 3 against the likely top contender against you to get there.
Yeah, I mean, I think I wrote after Yasmani Grandal got hurt in Minneapolis that, man, this makes Rick Hahn's job really, really hard, because he's got to look all over the field and say, what can I do? I mean, there seem to be so many things that the White Sox either need or could need that it's like, you know, you can't make 15 trades. So, but as you just described, Leila, I think you're right. It's become a good problem to have, because there are now potential solutions or parts of solutions kind of in a lot of different places. And I think as you go forward into the trade deadline, yeah, he's probably going to be looking for bullpen help. And there's that hole at second base, which, you know, Larry Garcia is a very valuable piece from a versatility standpoint, but he's not an everyday guy who's going to be a key part of your lineup like Nick Madrigal was, because Nick Madrigal's not coming back like Eloy Jimenez appears to be, like Luis Robert appears to be, like Yasmani Grandal is expected to be. Second base really stands out to me as kind of the hole in that lineup where you're going to need to take a look.
What do we know about Luis Robert? It just seems like Eloy Jimenez is, and we shouldn't be surprised, he's out there, he lives out there, he wants people to know what's going on, but why have they been more secretive about Robert?
I don't know if it's secretive, and if you look from the White Sox standpoint, right? I mean, that's the thing, is all the information we've gotten about Eloy Jimenez has come from Eloy Jimenez, right? And so maybe Luis Robert is just in a different type of social media lockdown or something like that. in terms of the updates that we have gotten from the team, we didn't hear anything about Eloy Jimenez until they said he's been cleared to resume baseball activities. Well, 2 weeks later, we got the same update on Luis Robert. Now, that doesn't mean it's the same timeline. It's obviously a different injury. They're two different people with two different bodies. But I think right now the news has been as positive on Luis Robert as it has been on Eloy Jimenez from the standpoint of what we've received from the team. As far as we know, they're expecting him to be, they're hoping that he will be back before the end of the regular season, just like they are with Yasmani Grandal. And, you know, it just might be a different timeline because of both the time that the initial injuries occurred to both Jimenez and Robert and just the timeline of their specific recoveries.
Aloy's swing looked pretty good in Charlotte. Home runs aplenty. Do you think that we're going to have to wait until the end of the month to see him for sure at the big league level?
It's really hard to say because I don't think the White Sox want to rush him, right? Everything you hear from Tony La Russa, everything you hear from Jose Abreu, for example, is, hey, Eloy, we know you're excited, but, you know, don't rush things. We need you for the long haul this year and for the many years that follow. But, man, Eloy seems to be very, very excited about getting back. And you can tell from his play down at Charlotte. So I don't know how long we're going to have to wait. You would think, because he hasn't played in months, that they're going to want him to get as much time as he possibly can to get his timing down, to get his swing right, to be ready to go so they can stick him right back into the middle of the major league lineup that's chasing a World Series when he is back 100% healthy. So, it seems to be good news and maybe some precautionary news as well existing at the same time, but certainly things look positive for them getting him back relatively soon.
A couple of weeks ago, I was lamenting the fact that Tim Anderson just didn't seem like Tim Anderson. And in those ensuing 15 games, he just is going to make sure that he's got a hit in every single one of them. And his numbers have snapped right back. Now we need Jose Abreu to do the same. He's been fine, but he hasn't quite been himself. And I know at his age, it's possible that this is who he is now with a weighted runs created plus of 119, which is terrific, but that's not 135. It's not a career level for him. Do you think there's another step for him to take right now?
Well, I'll say this, the way you framed that question, starting with Tim Anderson, right? Tim Anderson didn't look right. Now he's right. You wake up one day and he's right. That he has kind of become the guy that Jose Abreu is, right? In that it's expected. It's automatic, and it ends up, at the end of the day, being there. We've gone through this with Jose Abreu before in the past, in years past, where he's been in a slump for a month or two, and then he gets so hot that you don't even realize he's getting hot because that's what you expected from him, and his numbers are where they are supposed to be by the end of the season. So I think Jose Abreu's track record is strong enough that this isn't something that should be, you know, lamented as the end of Jose Abreu. Let's wait and see how the year plays out, because it would not surprise me one bit that his numbers are where they are, you know, at the regular Jose Abreu place when the regular season wraps up.
So with days before the trade deadline now, as the clock keeps ticking, what's your likelihood that the Sox, A, make a trade at all, and B, that it's for a reliever, the likelihood there, an infielder, the likelihood there, or an outfielder?
The White Sox will make a trade, probably multiple ones, in my opinion, just because, you know, this is what they've been building for, right? To be that contender, and they are a contender. They're a first place team by a wide margin. They're trying to win the World Series. This is what teams that are trying to win the World Series do at the trade deadline, is go out and get upgrades. Now, they might not be the massive splashy ones where they, you know, acquire an MVP candidate or a Cy Young candidate, but this is the realm that they've entered and that they've been planning to enter for so many years now. So they're definitely going to make a move or two or more. It's trying to figure out what it is, right? And I think you're definitely going to see a bullpen arm, just because, as Rick Hahn will tell you, relief pitching is volatile. And at the beginning of the season, we all assumed that this was going to be one of the best bullpens in baseball. The arms are still talented, but the results have not played out that way, with the exception of guys like Liam Hendricks, who's been, you know, as advertised, Michael Kopech, who's been fantastic. So I think you'll probably see a relief pitcher being acquired, and I think you got to look elsewhere. I do think catcher is an interesting position, just because we don't have a timeline on Yasmani Grandal. We don't know at what point in the season he's going to be back. I'm not sure that you could ride with Zach Collins and Sebi Zavala as your catching tandem throughout that absence of Grandal. Now, that being said, we saw Yasmani Grandal walking around and throwing on the field yesterday. So who knows? Maybe he's a quick healer too. But, it's definitely going to be something. It's definitely going to be interesting to pay attention to as the trade deadline comes around, because the White Sox are a World Series contender. This is what World Series contenders do. And as we've talked about several times, you know, here in the last however many minutes, they've got some areas that they could definitely address.
Zavala called a hell of a game yesterday. And I know he hasn't gotten a whole lot of credit for it, but Rodon is not an easy guy to catch, because that is a very nasty slider. It's tough to frame. It's tough to stay on. And I just thought that he had a great receiving game yesterday.
He was as advertised, because that's what the White Sox always talk about when they talk about Sebi Zavala, is what he can do behind the plate. And that's why when Yasmani Grandal went down, you didn't see them just turn right away to Yermin Mercedes and say, all right, hopefully your bat's fixed. Hopefully you can come up here and hit for us. They said, we're going to sacrifice, you know, the potential offense that we might have get from Yermin Mercedes, because we want the, you know, certainty of what we're going to get behind the plate from Sebi Zavala, and that's what they're getting so far.
So, in the meantime, the signing of Lance Lynn, almost an afterthought after that Astros series, but not at all when it comes to the direction of this team. Lynn's comments, I thought, were great just because they were so true to form by him. But what do you think the greater meaning is, and also just really another indication of how the Sox have gone about their business when it comes to early extensions and working to get that CBA in their favor and not having to overspend later?
Well, it's very interesting, because Lance Lynn spent his whole press conference talking about how when you know what you want, it makes it easy to agree to the deal. And it was very glowing remarks that he's had all year, really, for the South Side and for being with the White Sox organization. He feels at home. That goes both ways. And I think the White Sox have shown that in signing guys like Eloy Jimenez and Luis Robert before they even, you know, play a major league game, to making these kind of deals with guys who they bring in from other organizations who aren't homegrown like some of the younger players are. They know what they want in a player, and they saw Lance Lynn. We all thought he was a hired gun, right? A guy who was going to come in, play 1 year, and go somewhere else to just try to help them win a World Series this year. And it ended up being a perfect marriage, because not only has he found a home with the White Sox, the rave reviews that Lance Lynn gets as a leader in the clubhouse, is a guy who all the young pitchers, whether they're starters or relievers, go talk to constantly. The personality that he's brought, the veteran know-how that he's brought, the stuff that fans aren't seeing, you know, the yelling on the mound or the laughing at Tim Anderson, that's all great. The stuff that they aren't seeing in the clubhouse or sitting in the bullpen with guys before games, that's really what has made Lance Lynn such a very important part of this team. And he also happens to be pitching like one of the best pitchers in baseball.
Vinny Duber, your favorite activity memory from your All-Star trip? I saw stuff from Wyoming. Where else did you go?
We did a road trip through South Dakota and North Dakota. We went to several national parks and national monuments and state parks. We dipped into Wyoming very briefly, but we got over there too. The hiking was fantastic. I'm going to shout out Badlands National Park in South Dakota. Just kind of one of those places that makes you feel like you're on another planet. Very, very cool stuff. They're very much worth all the driving.
I got to confess, I told everybody you hate vegetables.
Thanks, Layla. You know, I'm working on that. It's part of growing as a human being.
We just had a burger named after the I'm Fat podcast last week, Vinny. You're amongst friends here.
Good to hear.
Zero veggies on that, Vinny. Zero.
That's how I like it.
Thanks for having fun with us, Vinny.
Sure thing. Thanks, guys.
Vinny Duber of NBC Sports Chicago. When we come back, we've got some Cubs stuff. There was a buried piece of Jake Arrieta news that you sort of unearthed, and we got to figure out what that means. And also, in the Cubs universe right now, I think we have found the most deranged, narcissistic a-hole around.
It's collective Cubs chaos, and it's next on The Score.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
On the ground, Rizzo coming home. Out at home, wow. And then back to first and out there.
Yeah, well, Calhoun hit the dirt with Rizzo's throw home. That ball almost hit him in the head and then apparently didn't continue to run to first base. I mean, I think maybe Lovello thought that Anthony stepped on first base. Clearly he did not. He has to bail out as that throw's coming towards his head, but he doesn't get up and go to first base. I mean, he's in self-preservation mode. The two throws coming right over his coconut.
It's a 3-2-1 double play, and they do not score.
What do the Cubs do to people? And why can't they do it more often? If you could absolutely, like radar jam opposing brains, why wouldn't you do it all the time?
But only of terrible teams like the Pirates and the Diamondbacks.
Yes, maybe you're onto something there. Maybe why? It's not the Cubs.
But why didn't Cole Calhoun, like, just go to first base?
And speaking of which, did you see the guy on the Pirates, like, left the country?
No! You mentioned this in the pre-show meeting.
Yeah, apparently he's completely wrecked. He's ruined. Javier Baez ruined him forever. It's like Steve Bartman or something. The guy had to leave the country.
That's awful.
It's horrible.
And Javi's like a nice person. He's jovial. He's congenial.
He's urging people to get the vaccine. He's actually part of a public health effort.
Always post the cutest fan pics on Instagram, but no. Wrecked a guy so bad he quit the United States.
He had to leave the country to get his career back, to get his head back, and he's worried that the play defined him. I don't know if the same's going to happen to Cole Calhoun, who, by the way, made some brilliant defensive plays.
Boy, can he cover some ground.
Really? That's a huge outfield, too.
It is. That was quite impressive. So, that double play, the old 3-2-1... That was the exactly.
I love that show. You don't remember the show 3-2-1 Contact?
I always skipped it because I just wanted Sesame Street because I was like,
oh, 3-2-1 Contact was awesome.
I think it was above my pay grade at the time.
PBS science show is really good.
But all that said, that double play kind of illustrated the collective Cubs chaos over the weekend. Also, I'm not happy that they only took 2 or 3 from the Diamondbacks. They should have swept that team.
What is the Arrieta note that apparently you saw that nobody else did?
I don't know why I'm the Maddie Lee beat reporter of Maddie Lee's news, but it came across and I reread it this morning. It happened over the weekend. And just stop me when you hear this, because if you don't necessarily think about it, knowing what you've seen out of one Jake Arrieta, it'll give you some pause. Because she said on July 16th, David Ross said Jake Arrieta will not return from the IL when he becomes eligible tomorrow, meaning July 17th. So didn't that kind of stop you in your tracks and you were like, wait a second, like he's not coming back on the team? But I don't think that's what that really means. It just means that he's not ready yet. And the 10-day IL, I feel like, is an odd patch to not be on the 60.
What does it mean?
But either way, I'm paying attention because who's pitching?
Right.
And what is this injury?
Hamstring.
Yes.
Quote unquote hamstring. I have no idea. Like I guess if I have to be consistent with what I said, I expected when that happened and I said, I don't think he's going to pitch another game for the Cubs. And that's what it sounds like the plan is. It's just a matter of how they lie about it.
That tweet, it wasn't her fault. It was just the way it was worded had me initially think, if at all. But I don't necessarily know that that's the case.
I think he's done.
I don't know that. I can't see everything he's given to the Cubs, it just going out with an extreme whimper. I think there's got to be at least an announcement or a discussion or something.
So when we went to break, I teased the most deranged a-hole in the Cubs universe. I give you Juliana Zobrist. My goodness, if you haven't seen, if you want to see a legal filing that contains more jaw-dropping chutzpah, the gall of this woman right now. If you remember, she and Ben Zobrist are in the middle of a very messy two-state divorce proceeding now because she decided she wanted to start banging their marriage counselor. And who was also, they were invested in their pastor and marriage counselor, who, while he was providing Ben Zobrist with advice and marriage counseling, was also with his wife. His name is Byron Yawn, and she's admitted to the affair. Remember, they found all the burner phones and everything else. Now, this, I cannot believe some of the stuff in this filing. She is asking for extra money. She is asking for an additional $4 million from the judge when they divide their assets because he forfeited the salary when he stopped working. This is in their filing, in the documents.
He had to stop working because he was getting a divorce.
Because of what she was doing with the marriage counselor.
Isn't this gaslighting?
It's gaslighting in actual legal verbiage. Here's what she says. In 2019... he had a contract with the Chicago Cubs for $12 million. But since he only played for 2 months, his salary was prorated, and he only earned $4.5 million of the 12 he could have earned, according to the memorandum. The brief contends that Ben Zobrist intentionally and voluntarily stopped working and went from the top of his game to basically giving up, which caused a massive loss in income. It doesn't say why. It doesn't explain why he did that and what he was going through to try to be there for his kids and put his life together. It's just that he did that. Said he wants to be compensated the additional $4 million for the amount of money he failed to preserve by abruptly and intentionally failing to satisfy his baseball contract.
Failed to preserve? Declined to earn because of family trauma.
Here's what Zobrist's lawyer said. Rather than accepting blame for having torn her husband's heart out by having an affair with their pastor, she expected him to be able to totally focus in an elite athletic job that requires 100% of his physical and mental energy. It is Mrs. Zobrist, by having the extramarital affair and confessing the same to her husband and not disclosing its true extent, that caused him such extreme mental distress and difficulty that resulted in an inability to finish his long and very successful career in the way that he hoped and planned for. Now, that's not all. This is even better, that somebody would actually do this. She's seeking primary custody of the children and child support. Here's the rationale. This is what they're using as evidence why she deserves the custody. Quote, husband has no real desire to co-parent due to his anger toward her. You talk about blaming somebody. Like, so he's saying he doesn't want to co-parent because he's too mad at her.
Well, okay, I'm going to pause right there, because when you say no desire to co-parent, that would imply that he doesn't want any sort of custody of the children, which isn't true.
Or, right, because it means he may want all the custody.
Right. So even that is framing slanted language.
It's
you know why we can you know why we can discern this so well? It's because of jerks on Twitter. Some of y'all missed your calling. Should have been divorce attorneys.
Man, and this is the witness list includes one of the relievers for the Milwaukee Brewers right now. And it says,
wait, what?
Yeah.
That's not exactly a casual gloss over there.
It says Erin Dillard, the wife of Zobrist's longtime friend and former Milwaukee Brewers reliever Tim Dillard.
Tim Dillard, who is like really funny on Twitter, and very amusing.
He says, all of these Zobrists and Yon's social media posts and communications may be included among the exhibits, and so will their books, including Double Play, co-written by Ben and Juliana, Pull It Off.
What are these book titles or something else? Right.
Pull It Off, written by Juliana. What are you pulling off? Maybe leave it on. And Byron Yon's What Every Man Wishes His Father Had Told Him, and his other book, Things That Go Bump in the Church. Byron.
These all sound like names of
Byron.
Things we can't discuss on the radio. Was that clever? Was that supposed to be like, was that meant to be that clever?
Juliana's book, Pull It Off. I'd say put it back on and get out of the church before things go bump. Well, because that's your problem here.
On behalf of those of us who attend and aren't that cool or slick or rich or something, can't lump us all in together. But still, that's messed up.
Man, this is... Ben Zobrist requests a stay-away order under Tennessee's paramour provision prohibiting Yon from coming in contact or communicating with the children. Wife has made it clear she intends to continue her involvement with Pastor Yon in the future. The filing adds, the court will find that Mrs. Zobrist is a spoiled, self-centered person who does not understand the meaning of a dollar.
Before there was Twitter, there was divorce court.
Man, this is just starting.
This was already kind of ugly about a month ago when that lawsuit came out. The one against Yon.
But the audacity of saying that you got to give me more money because you couldn't do your job because of things that I did. No.
That's gaslighting.
No,
if you want a tremendous definition or an example and you need it for your future, tis it.
773 says their other book, If This Church Is Rockin', Don't Come and Knock It. That is the perfect lead-in to the Midday Midway. I have just a coincidental bookending of stories that I just find. It just so happened that I stumbled upon them at around the same time. And they're the opposites of each other, but both in their own way kind of heartwarming.
Well, I have acid shooting land lobsters.
Cool.
Not really.
Oh.
Let's panic next.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter.
Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station.
The first half or the second half, you know, it's they're two equal times.
Now, Midway.
The Midday Midway.
One, two.
Midway, the most important of the year.
Three, four.
The most exciting thing on the Midway.
Five, six, seven, eight.
Our objective is Midway.
9, 10.
You guys gotta meet me halfway out there.
So real, you can almost feel
the Midday Midway with Bernstein and Rahimi. Middays 9 a.m. to noon on The Score.
Happy Monday. We celebrated the White Sox to start this show, and just coming off a couple of inspiring wins, trying to figure out the embarrassment of young riches that they have with so many of these guys that they've called up who've been better than expected. Vinny Duber helped us talk over what they do now, and we recalibrated your feelings about years of contract control that you were sort of lamenting for the rental of Lance Lynn and the Dane Dunning deal, and now things look a whole lot better. It changes everything when you know he's going to stick around for a little bit. And we're going through some Cubs stuff, the note on Jake Arrieta and how that end game is going to play out with him, what they're going to do and how they're going to say they're going to do it or not. And man, Juliana Zobrist is a thing. And I don't know, but just be careful what you get into with some of these people who are out for themselves and aren't going to stop.
Or at least know that those lawyers are going to say a lot of stuff, because that's where I feel like this is. So, naturally, this story comes from Texas. And the headline is, this is a headline in a real publication. Land lobsters from hell are emerging in Big Bend after summer rains.
Land lobsters?
From hell.
Ugh.
I'd never seen this before. I don't know how to explain it. Big Bend National Park in Texas shared a photo this week of a visitor near a campsite. A vinegaroon, or is it vinegaroon? Vinegar being the operative word here. A sort of ungodly land lobster that can shoot acid from its tail.
What?
It's like a scorpion, but worse. And here's the best part. Not only does it want food because it got unearthed from its burrow thanks to the rain, it's also looking for love.
From what?
Love doesn't, I mean, another vinegaroon, I guess.
Oh my God, I've never heard of this. It's an arachnid.
Vinegaroons are about 3 inches long and relatively benign, unless you happen to annoy them. That would be us, Bernstein and Rahimi. They can pinch with their heavy mouth parts and shoot a well-aimed spray of 85% acetic acid, aka vinegar, from the base of their whip to protect themselves.
Yikes.
Vinegaroons are nocturnal and they can't see very well. Aw. They hunt millipedes, scorpions, crickets, cockroaches, and other invertebrates by sensing vibrations with their long, thin front legs.
Known as a whip scorpion.
Most commonly seen in the desert, this vinegaroon was taking a stroll around the Chisos Basin campground. Just a stroll, because he does whatever he wants. If you're lucky enough to see one, look closely. If it's a female, she may be carrying her hatchlings on her back.
Yeah, that's a whole lot of nope for me on that one.
So it's pretty cool looking. But it also looks terrifying. So apparently they have come out because of the summer rains. They lure them from their burrows. But you probably will only see them in that area. Some have been spotted in the panhandle of Texas and the South Texas, according to Texas A&M. They are the expert on such things. And guess what? You would have to deal with the lifelong psychological effects of coming into contact with one because they pinch and shoot vinegar at you, and it sounds terrible. But I wonder if they're going to find love. That's a nice ending to this terrifying story. You just look at me and just sit there in disgust.
I want them burned with fire. Oh, I would eat one if they wanted to deep fry. They probably taste good because...
Sour vinegar.
I don't know. You break off the tail. They're probably fine to eat because they all of those from that particular family tend to be. So yeah, I've had scorpion before.
But do you want to know what kills a cockroach? We found out.
From that lobster to real lobsters, meet Virginia Oliver. She has been born and raised in Rockland, Maine. She's been lobstering since she was 8. She's now 101 and still lobstering.
Aren't those like high in cholesterol and such?
She goes out 3 times a week with her son. And she lives in the same home that she's lived in since 1920. Used to live alone, but nowadays her 78-year-old son, Max, spends the nights at her house. And they wake up early, they pile into their old Ford, and they drive the winding road to Owl's Head, where her late husband's boat, appropriately named Virginia, is docked. She's 101. She has 200 lobster pots, 3 days a week, that she drops into the waters off of Rockland. She says she's more at ease on a rocking boat than anywhere else. Max hauls the pots. He's 78. That's the young whippersnapper there. While she bands the lobsters. She's right-handed, so but she has to use her left hand because she broke her wrist a few years ago. She fills the bait bags. And when the work is done, she sits on the side of the boat and waits for Max to catch up. Come on, Max! Get a move on!
Jeez, man.
She says, they call me the lobster lady. I bet they do. What does she like about it? She says, being the boss.
Awesome!
She doesn't go out if she doesn't want to, but she likes the independence that life on the water has afforded her and afforded her family. Most days after lobstering, she drives her white pickup down the street to Hannaford. She says, I usually bake beans on Saturday. My kids come for supper. She makes cake. She makes donuts. She makes brownies. She likes to eat a couple lobsters a week, and she eats them in a classic Maine lobster roll, and she's very specific. She says, grilled bun, a little bit of mayo, and nothing else.
No parsley?
And she said, when does she think she'll retire her lobster pots? She said, when I die. And she said,
yeah.
And she said, I'm not afraid of it. Everybody gonna die sometime.
She's metal.
She said, you're not gonna live forever, so why let it bother you? All right, so I ask you this. Who's cooler, Virginia or Kellen Borecki of Penn Township, Pennsylvania? Kellen Borecki is 7 years old, and he is the legal owner of his own apiary. He's one of the youngest members of the Lancaster County Beekeepers Society. His hive houses about 50,000 honeybees. And again, 7 years old. There's pictures of him here in full gear. He says all the bees in the hive are the queen's kids. She just lays the eggs. But he's a beekeeper. And this is the best part of this story. Is he was asked by WTAJ, do you want to be a beekeeper when you grow up? His response, I am a beekeeper.
Ooh.
How cool is that? Like, who's more metal? Who's more...
Definitely the 100-year-old lobster woman.
Yeah, that's... She drives her car. She does the cooking. She orders poor Max around.
Yeah. She has 200 lobster pots.
Yep. 78-year-old Max is doing everything. She's just putting the bands on and putting the bait in this. But
she's not afraid of death. This kid hasn't even lived yet.
Yeah, this kid... As long as you wear the beekeeping suit, you're not metal.
Yeah, she's way more metal.
Right. If you're a 7-year-old beekeeper and you don't wear a beekeeping suit, that would be really badass and stupid as hell.
Also, speaking of metal, Jay, you had a pretty good description of the land lobsters.
From hell?
Yes.
Yeah, that's my favorite Pantera Jimmy Buffett mashup. Land lobsters from hell.
Land lobsters from hell.
You know how I feel about the Pantera Dallas Stars song? I'm sorry, Hawks. I love the dagger too, but.
No, you can keep the dagger. I'm good.
I do love just the 2-chord Dallas Stars. But not the opinions of some members of Pantera. Get it together, people. That's
yeah,
not okay.
Those are bad.
But yeah. Now Luis Robert is La Pantera, though, right?
Luis Robert is La Pantera.
Yeah, I think if we're Pantera draft, I think that would be the first one take.
Yeah,
right?
We're taking Luis Robert first, yes.
Although Dimebag Darrell does have the cool rock star death story, right?
Is he more metal?
Is that
he's the most metal.
Murdered on stage.
I don't know if that's cool.
It's, as rock star deaths go, it's better than choking on your own vomit.
But that's what you expect out of a rock star.
But, I mean...
Unless you're Keith Richards falling out of a coconut tree.
But he lived.
That's
Keith. That'd be a perfect way for him to die, but he didn't die. But that's... If you're drafting rock star deaths... I mean, just as far as the story goes, for story, murdered on stage?
I definitely think that the Lobster Woman is more metal.
Yeah, probably.
But if we're keeping track.
That's got to be really fun. Like, fishing is fun, but you know you have the fish on and you have the sport of reeling the fish in. The idea of, like, bringing something to the surface and then opening it and seeing what's inside, that's a different kind of thrill.
You're very excited even talking about this.
I would like to go lobstering.
Or if you were a child in these 90s and 80s and you would see the live lobster tank at the grocery store or some restaurant and just be fascinated because they were there.
Check my Twitter feed because I took pictures one time. There was a lobster at the Jewel in Roscoe Village.
I think I
that
saw
got
this.
Out of its bands and was kicking lobster ass right and left, snapped his bands and was just hacking away at other lobsters. And there were chunks like he ruined their inventory. Because he snapped off another lobster's claws and just the lobster's like, damn it. And it's just his arms were gone. It's like there's a reason they have those bands on. And he's like, look, we're all getting eaten, but I'm going to get out of here. So you get out of my way.
How can you be so callous toward the lobster, but yet the first video I see that you post is the mama bird in your robin's nest, like giving food to another bird?
Oh, there was both parents were on the nest.
Yeah, so you're okay with that, but you're not okay with that, but you're okay with like a lobster getting his claw stepped off.
Well,
That's terrible.
It wasn't my house. The lobster hadn't like made a nest on my house. If that would be different, then I would adopt them. They would be part of my family.
Did you also see that apparently octopi punch fish just cuz?
Just for fun? Yes, it's like what?
Did you think that was gonna escape us?
No, they just go. It was sort of like in the Avengers. What is it when Thor hits Hulk or Hulk hits Thor? Like at the end, they have this huge like battle royal and they're sort of standing there catching their breath and just like out of like brotherly reflex, he smacks him again.
I'm looking for this video and all I'm finding is like a best of the first 7 months of our show so far. It's tuna casserole. Then it's like a random hat. Then it's that dude from...
That was my Duke hat because they were talking about the Gothic D during a White Sox... Detroit broadcast.
The bunny nest. Sir Mac Chicharrones. Yeah, this is just a best up of the show.
I found
much.
a new Mexican grocery last night way north in Rogers Park on Western. It's like called Mirella or something, and I had goat for dinner last night. They had actual barbacoa de chivo.
Was it good? I'll look for this lobster. That wrecked shop.
It was not happy, and it was excited to have its rubber bands snapped. All right, we got to talk about what's going on at Guaranteed Rate Field and around Guaranteed Rate Field because the White Sox game day experience, not great.
And we've gotten, I don't know about you, but on multiple social media platforms, I had people reach out. So
yeah,
I feel like we should talk about it.
And some insider reports from some people who are involved in it. And they need to fix some things.
You had questions and we attempted to get you some answers because we like doing that sort of thing. Dan actually went to extra work for it because of y'all. Who knew? We'll talk about your Sox experience next.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.